This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, Bitcoin, the world's number one cryptocurrency, rose to its highest level in about 17 months on Wednesday, extending its rally to nearly 60% in June so far. Bitcoin is surging. Talking all about it after these tech headlines. The Journal reports that large U.S. tech companies in the direct sights of the Trump administration's ban on exports to Huawei are finding ways to resume some shipments to the blacklisted Chinese tech giant, doing so without running afoul of American regulations. Case in point, Micron Technology, one of the world's largest makers of memory chips, said it restarted some shipments to Huawei after determining they were in compliance with U.S. law. Qualcomm also resumed shipments of certain radio frequency components to Huawei, while Intel also resumed shipments of some of its products. The moves are part of a wider effort by American companies to fulfill contracts and continue doing business while remaining compliant with Commerce Department restrictions. The Journal's Dan Strump has more at WSJ.com. The National Security Agency collected records about U.S. calls and text messages that it wasn't authorized to obtain last year in a second such incident, renewing privacy concerns surrounding the agency's maligned phone surveillance program. It wasn't clear from the documents how many records the NSA improperly collected in October. The NSA's media relations chief declined to comment specifically on the episode, but referred to the previous incident of overcollection disclosed last summer. Privacy advocates are calling on the FTC to remove all YouTube content directed at kids and impose tens of billions of fines against the video streaming service for alleged children's privacy violations. Executives have been debating moving all children's content into the YouTube Kids app to better protect young viewers from objectionable videos. As the Wall Street Journal reported last week, this would be a seismic shift, as children's videos are among the most popular on YouTube's platform and carry millions of dollars in advertising. Coming up, as Bitcoin surges toward 14,000, has a crypto winter for digital assets given way to a white-hot summer? At the day's peak on Wednesday, Bitcoin futures hit an intraday high on CME at 13,680. It isn't clear what has driven Bitcoin's price higher lately, but after a rough winter, the asset has recovered. The Wall Street Journal's J.R. Whalen has more with reporter Paul Vigna in New York.
So, Paul, you know, we saw Bitcoin languishing for most of 2018. Now it's been to the moon in 2019. Has anybody put their finger on what's behind this?
Most of the volume you are seeing in the cryptocurrency market right now is crypto-to-crypto volume. In other words, it's people holding one cryptocurrency and trading it for another. That cryptocurrency happens to be Bitcoin right now. That is a big reason why this surge is happening. And what that really means is that what it is not fiat currency to Bitcoin. So what that indicates is that this is probably not what you saw in 2017, where in 2017, you had a lot of interest in Bitcoin. You had a lot of people coming into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. This is people who are already in the industry who are the sort of true believer types. You know, I'm not selling ever. I'll just stick it in something else. This is, in my opinion, it is a completely speculative, momentum-driven market. There are some really interesting things about cryptocurrencies. There are some really interesting applications of the technology. There are a lot of things that at some point in the future may really, really be fundamentally interesting and could change the way we work. And, you know, but right now, all that stuff pretty much is all dreams. The vast majority of Bitcoin activity on a daily basis goes to trading. The vast majority. Very little is only about 1% goes to retail. It is all people trading Bitcoin on exchanges, which is momentum-driven speculation. That's what drives Bitcoin right now. That is what is driving Bitcoin again.
Did anybody see this coming? The 60% rise in June. And the reason I ask that is because you and I have spoken before about how Bitcoin can rise to the moon and it can fall to the ground just as quickly. Was there any indication this surge was coming, and could there be an indication that we'll see something resembling a crash, or was it a surprise?
I mean, spend 10 minutes on Twitter and you will find people saying that they predicted this.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are people. Look, I think because of the crash in the beginning of 2018 and because of sort of the long layoff, it's almost like in the stock market. The stock market crashes and people lose money. And then after several years, people forget that the stock market can go down and they start buying again. And you're seeing that in the stock market now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, you know, S&P hits a record and all people want to talk about is the next record.
Those endorphins in the brain can do wild things.
Right, exactly. I think what happened in the Bitcoin market in a much shorter time frame, but Bitcoin is it's almost like a concentrated version of any other asset class, is that you had the crash and you had the languishing after the crash, and people forgot that Bitcoin could be volatile. Bitcoin is extremely volatile because of what I said before, because it is so speculative, because it is so momentum driven. Bitcoin has gone up 60% this month. It's almost tripled in the last couple of months. That happened. The exact opposite can happen. It can go down again. Again, because of the fact that what is driving Bitcoin is speculation and momentum. It is not being driven by some underlying fundamental factor. There's no earnings per share. There's no dividends being paid out. There's nothing to set a floor on the price in either direction. And the people who really love Bitcoin, you know, there is a segment of the population that trades Bitcoin that loves Bitcoin for that. They are adrenaline junkies. They are gamers.
Oh,
they are
the big
gamblers.
Score. They want the
big score.
Yes,
yeah. They love Bitcoin because of that.
Oh, my goodness.
And you get a portion, and then, you know, they drive the market to
a
large
extent. It's like a tightrope. If you're a small investor trying to invest in Bitcoin, you're on a tightrope with alligators in the water below you.
Yes. Yeah. And look, I am a beat reporter. I'm not somebody who's supposed to give financial advice, and I don't give financial advice. But whenever people ask me about buying Bitcoin, and when the price starts going up, that happens more often, my very standard answer is, if you think Bitcoin's interesting, if you're enticed by it, you see you want to get involved in it, that's fine. Use monopoly money, not retirement money. Do not put into this anything you can't afford to lose.
Well, that is Wall Street Journal cryptocurrency reporter Paul Vigna. Paul, thanks for coming on the show.
JR, I'm always happy to come on the show. Thanks.
And we're happy to have you. And that's your tech news briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.